Delighted to have a guest here in the studio with us is Sue Ann Bottomley, and she is an artist and writer. She's published a book called Colorful Journey, and it is an artist adventure drawing every town in New Hampshire. So welcome, Sue Ann, to Kale & Company.
Thank you very much.
I'm just so delighted that you're here. This book was introduced to me a year ago by someone who's involved with all of the schoolhouses that are in the state, Sue Feynman. And I got to meet up with you at a Humanities Council event a couple of weeks ago. And I said, Sue Ann, you've got to be on Kale & Company. And she was kind enough to email me. So, Sue Ann, how many towns officially in New Hampshire?
234, although that includes the 13 cities. So for simplicity's sake, I call them all towns.
Now, that would include like Hart's location and all of those?
Hart's location calls itself a town.
It does. Well, then it must.
There are other unincorporated locations.
Okay. Which
those I didn't go and draw because there's, in most cases, no roads, no way in, and no inhabitants. So I gave myself a break with that.
Well, I would say, drawing 234 towns, that is a terrific effort. So, of course, everybody wants to know, okay, please describe the book for me, because it's more than just that you went to towns. I mean, you wrote text for each town. You have these beautiful drawings for each town. What was the genesis of this, and did you find the drawing a lot easier than writing the blurb for each town and its little history?
Let me just first say it looks like a tome. It's over an inch thick. It's a small state. Uh-huh. But the fact that each one of these towns got one page each, mm-hmm. so we're all equal, mm-hmm. it made it quite a large book, and it's organized by region, seven regions, and it's alphabetical within the region. Mm-hmm. There is an index if you don't know which region I put you in. what was the rest of your question?
Well, I'm just like, so how did you, I know you wrote the text as well.
I did. I wrote that after I'd already spent 2 years drawing and going to these towns. So mm-hmm. that took 2 years, another 2 years, choosing a publisher, deciding on a printer, picking the paperweight, rejecting the proofs.
So talk about a labor of love and gasoline. I know you mentioned in another interview, it's like this was really a commitment of time and resources.
I know. We didn't really count that part. That was
sort
of a joke that it took a lot of gasoline, but mostly it took time, and determination. And I'm sort of a finisher of projects. Mm-hmm. So I wrote down on the calendar that I would do 10 towns per month.
Mm-hmm. So when you say do 10 towns, what does that mean? What was your process?
Well, first of all, it means it doesn't matter the weather or the season. So I just stuck to it. And some days I didn't get home before dark. Mm-hmm. And so some of the drawings will have a dark sky. Mm-hmm. Or you'll notice piles of snow or a few rain puddles. Or twice we had to stay overnight. I couldn't get back home from Colebrook in one day. So.
Oh, yeah. I wonder. You must have mapped out.
Just only twice. We went to Colebrook and we stayed in Eaton.
Mm-hmm. Near
Maine.
Little spot.
But the rest of it, I just started out after breakfast with a map, or actually three maps, an atlas, mm-hmm. a snack, and a dog, and tried to get home before dark. And I would study the map. First of all, you have to find out how the towns connect.
Yes.
There has to be a road, an easy
right, because there's so few east-west roads in the state.
Yes, so there's one along the border of Massachusetts. That's helpful. I started out in the Monadnock region because I knew the least about that.
Okay.
And it's reasonably close to my house in New London, mm-hmm. which is in Dartmouth-Sunapee.
And you moved back to New London after a few years out of the state. You sort of are a native. You graduated from UNH.
Yay.
Rah, rah. And then you left and came back in 2008?
2008. I'd been away since 1968, so you do the math. That's when I graduated. I lived a lot of other fine places.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly I was in Maryland, but also lived in Europe. So once I got back here and decided to sell my etching press and sell you know, change, sort of change your focus and get back to basics with pencil and paper, I just started deciding to explore. And I started out, and it was like a concentric circle around from New London. And one day I decided to count out how many towns I had drawn.
And was you were up to 19 before you saw our pattern here?
Yes, it was up to 19 before I thought, huh, well, maybe I should just keep going. And, of course, I at that time didn't know how many towns there were. That is the best way to start a big project, actually, is to not quite
right,
know
don't know what you're jumping into.
It is.
Exactly. Now, when you talk about, so I have a great interest in storytelling in libraries, which I try to share when I've been here on Kale & Company. But I was so delighted in how you connect what you did with your artwork around storytelling and wanted to be where people gather and give more than just a photographic representation of a spot in a town. Tell me more about how you decided that you would, what kind of story you wanted to create. What kind of impression did you want to leave with a drawing versus just a photograph? What did you want people to feel about each town?
Well, first of all, in most cases, I didn't have a preconceived idea of what I wanted to do. So, in other words, I didn't have this idea, I have to draw the meeting house just because it's there and it's beautiful and it's tall and it's white. Or I didn't have to draw the most beautiful colonial edifice in town, or I didn't have to draw, the general store or the mountain. In each case, I made up my mind when I got there. And it involved, it involved a lot of passes through town.
Instead
of go north-south. And then we turn around at the edge of town, and then we go south-north, and then we would go east-west and west-east. And after we'd done that about four times, we thought, okay, it's time to stop in the middle and park the car. And
well, you talked about how you decided what you were going to do with your feet.
Usually by the time I'd parked the car, I haven't seen anything that grabbed me by then. I knew that I had to pace around. And fun thing about doing that is that the view or the composition, which is very important to me, will change within a few feet. Literally, if you take 3 feet one way or the other way, the composition will change.
Okay, and you kind of, in that idea of a drawing, an impression, making an impression of each town, you kind of edited the landscape a little bit if you thought it would create a better idea, a better story of the town you were in. So, like, did you lop trees off of houses? Did you cut down mountains or...
Well, I chopped down trees. Yeah. I, in some cases, would take a walk. Like in Ringe, I took a walk over to the bandstand and then back down and stood in front of the library. But the bandstand was so pretty, and I decided I could put that in there if I just took out a few trees. So there are views that you will see. If you go to that town and you walk around, you will see where I was walking. But you won't see it all in one place. But, But my contention is that is the way people view the world. You don't, you see it as you move around, or you see it as you're in a car. And you, as you drive through town, you see it moving.
It's so dynamic. It's not static.
So I feel no problem at all changing things around a little bit, moving mountains. I don't invent much, but I leave out things.
Well, I would say that's quite a skill. That's quite a skill. I mean, because it makes me think you never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Yes.
You know, and that idea of you want people to have a sensation when when I'm looking at your drawings, it's like that's creating a sensation of the town versus just a visual idea of what the town is.
Well, people do say I get the essence of
essence,
the town.
That's it.
Distillation of. And you can't really tell what I moved or what I've left out because, I have a strong composition, strong sense of composition, both with color and line and shape. So it works as art. And all of these, at one point, I had to let go of the town and let it become art.
Well, I like the way you put that. Now, what has been the reaction? And I know you also teach art, correct?
I do from time to time when I can get people to come out and and draw on site with me and get them away from photographs and postcards.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so what has been, have you seen an upsurge with people wanting, like, oh, I want to learn how to draw when, because I know you said it's just, drawing is very easy. It's just observation and recording. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're for that. You know, she makes it look so easy. But what reaction have you had to the journey and to the book as it now that it's all collected? Because you've had a blog and people have followed you all over the world.
Well, that is true. You never know how people find me. And, you know, they might be people in my own town or they might be people in the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And people find some way of connecting to this. And it's fascinating to me because after I have told my story to them, then they tell their story to me.
Mm-hmm. So has that informed other projects you've done? I mean, if you go on the website, if you just put Sue Ann Bottomley in your search engine, you'll come up with the Colorful Journey blog, how to buy the book. Mm-hmm. Certainly you can get the book mm-hmm. at the local independent bookstore here in Concord. And in Milford, I think, also
It's in most of the local independent bookstores. Also, is in the state library system, so if you want to just check it out.
Definitely,
way.
We always like books that you can check out, and you're into library loan, because yes. I did a library search, and I was like on the campaign, because I could only find one library that had it in their catalog within the libraries around me, and I thought, well, that has got to change.
Well, it's the whole process of getting it out there is taking me almost as long as the project took, but I'm working at it, and
well, that
I want to go back to your question of what has happened to this
yes.
idea of going out there and drawing on site. Is I have taught three classes at the Adventures in Learning in New London at the Colby Sawyer College.
Mm-hmm.
But my most immediate project, which is another book, which will be coming out this summer. You didn't even know about this.
Well, it's not. Is it about Canada? Where this is a live revelation right here
on
Gail and
Colby. Breaking news!
Oh my
breaking
gosh! Can
news.
you give us a tease?
I'll give you the title.
Okay.
Of course. It's called Pep Talks for the would-be should-be artist.
Oh wow! Now I can use that. So what do you hope to motivate? Just to motivate someone like me who you know. Can barely draw a straight line or doodle. Everyone's a doodler.
Not necessary.
Oh, okay. That's
good. I'm interested in architecture, but not rulers. So,
okay.
Well, I've written this book has 30 pep talks. I can't think of any other way to describe it. And there are basic things. Instead of saying, you know, start with a circle or a square or an oval, I start with things like give up napping.
Napping as in sleeping
yes,
napping?
Yes, if you're going on vacation, people always say
oh, yeah,
they want to
nice
go on
nap.
Vacation with their art supplies. Okay. You see, they bring their art supplies with them. So the book is really oriented to people who already have the supplies. Mm-hmm. They just carry them around with them. So I'm giving you pep talks of how to not find the time, make the time, mm-hmm. or how to forget that mean person who said something to you in you know, fifth grade or
yes, those people who those saboteurs
that's causing you to postpone happiness and fun. You see that? And then I give I have 80 drawings of my own, mm-hmm. and each one of them had a problem with it, a
okay.
challenge, and then I describe that, and the viewer can decide how well I overcame the challenge.
Well, that sounds like a very approachable method. For getting someone who has that desire to express themselves in drawing, but maybe we're told by a teacher or a school chump, well, that's, you know, you can't draw. And that makes me think, you had mentioned in another interview about someone stating, oh, those some of your drawings look childlike or done by a child, mm-hmm. and you said, thank you. Is it because of that purity of thought or purity of effort that many children have and that sincerity comes through? And this
I
is an,
so,
to
yeah.
me, it's like an impression of your heart versus an accurate rendition of a particular spot. This is your interaction. So is would that be what you suggest, let people get back to that unencumbered sense of children just do what they
yes.
want to do because they love it?
Enthusiasm.
Yes, there you
and
go.
Lack of concern about the finished product.
Hmm.
Process.
process, kind of like radio. Okay, because you don't know what could come out the other side if you're detached.
Well,
from the
I have one pep talk that says, "Love what happens."
Love what, even if it seems kind of unpleasant at the moment.
It's a record of your day and your thoughts and your life at that moment.
Okay, so it's valid. No matter what comes out, it's valid.
You can write if you want to how long it took you, just for reference, so that you can never say, I don't have time. You know, if I could do this in 10 minutes, well, okay, today I have another 10 minutes. So
interesting.
So I do have an unusual way of looking at things.
Well, that's what we like here on Kale & Company. We have very unusual points of view. And so everyone, speaking of point of view, everyone must think you have a favorite town or... Do you have like a few that, if I had to pick 10, these are the towns I'd really put a gold star on?
I do have 10. I still love the town I live in, which is New London. It's 4,000 people, and it's got basically one street, which we call Main Street, and it's on a ridge. It's a mountain ridge, so you have mountain views in all directions. It's gorgeous, and I still love it there, but I did, people always ask me, what are your favorite towns? So I finally have written a list.
Okay, well, let's hear.
And I'm calling this my 10 favorite small but lively towns. That means when you get there, there's more than quaint. You might have, it'll be a place to eat, drink, sleep, shop, and maybe tour or something.
Sounds brilliant for the summer coming up. Do we have a few minutes to hear these?
Oh, absolutely. Also, I can't wait. I'm going to write them down.
As people go out this summer, where would you suggest?
And, these are the towns I think if you live in New Hampshire and you love your state, you need to go to these places just to know what's there.
Okay.
You know? Because I learned when I was traveling around that people tended to know only about their town or only about their region. So...
Okay.
You know, if you only know the Seacoast, go to the Monadnock region.
Okay. Well, let's start with number 10. We'll have the drama working way out.
No, these are all, this is in alphabetical order.
She's a very organized person. I love
it. A lot more than we are.
I know. Okay, because we don't want to put too much favoritism on one.
No. That's why I took the time to put them in alphabetical
order. Okay, let's hear.
That's the best way.
All right. So, first one I have is Amherst.
Amherst. Okay, yes. Great library in Amherst.
Yes. And it doesn't match anything else in town. It's about 1910 or so.
Yeah.
And the rest is all colonial. So
Amherst.
Durham. I think we should all know where our state university is. That's where I went to school. Hancock. Another one street town, but
lots of art in Hancock.
Lots of art and at least two places to eat and an inn. Harrisville.
Oh, yes. My retirement community someday.
Intact, functioning mill town. They still spin yarn there.
Really?
I had a tour of the yarn spinning factory.
Wow.
Promise not to fall into the machine.
I hope you kept your promise.
I did. Next town, Hanover.
Okay.
Obviously larger than some other ones, but it's, the university in the wilderness. You get there and you've got about 3 blocks of urban scene. You know, I feel like you're in a major city for about 3 blocks. and the day I happened to be there to draw, my official draw there, although I've been there many times, it happened to be finals week, I guess, and the town green was absolutely full of students sprawling.
Oh, exciting.
And
stuffing their brains with information.
Well, some of them might have been studying.
Sunbathing.
Yeah. Next town is Jackson. A lot of people have heard of that over near Maine border. It used to be called Adams. And then Jackson was elected and they changed it to Jackson.
That's the story there.
I learned little tidbits as I went along and then I did research afterwards. So we haven't talked about how I got to the text yet, but we will. Littleton, over near Vermont.
Lots of candy in Littleton.
Wonderful Main Street with an opera house and a candy store and Pollyanna in front of the library because the author lived there.
Yeah.
a brew pub along the river. They've recently discovered their riverfront. New London, my town.
Yeah.
And Newmarket, just south of Durham. Another mill town. I think I found that every town in New Hampshire is a mill town, but this one, this one I would call it the funky mill town. A lot of students live there, a lot of professors.
And last but not least?
Peterborough.
Peterborough. Oldest library in this, almost the country, I think, supported by taxes.
Yes.
Well, that's quite a range of geographic area, which is, I guess, makes sense to stretch out from where you are accustomed to, just in any small circle. So it sounds like you had a delightful time on this tour. A lot of people have been inspired by it, and the artwork is delightful. I mean, it just lifts you up looking at it, the colors and the bright colors. So I don't know if we have a few minutes to talk about the text or just
absolutely, absolutely we do.
So
all the time in the world.
All the time in the world. So did you, how did you decide what you were going to include for text? Did you have like a template? Well, I'll tell people where it is. I'll tell them one interesting tidbit. How did you decide to complement the art with some text?
Well, first of all, I'm not a historian, and I did no original research. I did have an historical advisor who shot down all my ideas about history. His name is Jerry Daniel, and he's a professor emeritus at Dartmouth. So he helped me out. He explained things to me, like one why some libraries are called, for example, the frost-free library, you know, what that meant. A movement after the Civil War to provide more access to the people in the town. So you didn't have to belong.
You didn't have to pay a subscription.
A social library, which they have in Kensington. That's on their library.
So it sounds like you pulled a lot of people in together. As far as like the design of the book, was that done locally? How did you know?
That was done by our daughter who lives in Los Angeles, who's a professional graphic designer.
Well, I think so being your daughter, we'll count that as local.
Okay.
That's pretty local.
She gave me, length, how many lines I had, she told me. And then she told me, I had to have this little,
like a sidebar?
Sidebar. And that was the toughest thing of the whole thing because the sidebar can't repeat anything that's over here.
Right. Sort of the takeaway, as they would call it I guess.
Or if you're just browsing, you read the sidebar. But basically, the text comes from three things. Either historical tidbits, what happened when I was there, like it was at black fly season or something like that, or pouring down rain, or if I had any personal history, like my parents were married on the banks of this river. My father's first teaching job was in Ashland, or if I could, like I only lived here full-time until I was six. So whatever family history I could dredge up, I did.
Okay, and just so you know to whom she's referring, I'm chatting with Sue Ann Bottomley. She's the author of Colorful Journey, an artist's adventure, drawing every town in New Hampshire. And it's 234 delightful illustrations of each town in New Hampshire and a little blurb about that town, either historical or anecdotal about each town. And it includes libraries. And it can be the inside of a schoolhouse. I see the one for Bow. You're looking through a window into a schoolhouse, and you've included some of the Palmer cursive script, which they don't teach anymore. And so it's just full of delightful things. I would encourage anyone to check out your local bookstore or go online to one of the online resources or just go put Sue Ann in your search engine. So before we wrap it up, are there any more comments you'd like to make to our listening audience about your journey?
I just want to say that besides independent bookstores, you can read my blog and find out listings of where it is. The name of my blog is colorfuljourney.us. Failing any of that, you could just go on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, or as we've already said, it's in the state library system.
Well, marvelous. Well, Sue Ann Bottomley, I want to thank you again for coming in studio and sharing your delightful adventure and your book with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I'll hand it over to the
All
voice.
Right. That was delightful. I enjoyed that. Yeah. I can't wait to see the book. You're just
well. I might show you my signed book.
Okay. I think you might. I think you might. Maybe for a few minutes anyway. Thank you, Sue Ann. We appreciate it. Great job.